ourselves to you, O God. Guide our steps. Speak to us, O God. Release life in our bodies. Release life in our members, O God. Release life in our homes, O God. We give you praise. We give you worship. We give you adoration. We say thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're a good God and you guide us, you direct our steps. May your name be magnified and may your name be exalted. We thank you, Jesus. We glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Trust that you are well. Amen. Amen. Let's start. So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word and to carry on with our study of the word. And today we're in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to look at this great falling away, this great apostasy. You know, one of the things that Paul wanted the church and the church in Thessalonica and also in Laodicea, because when he's writing this letter, he tells them, you read this letter and then also hand the letter over to the church in Laodicea, also read their letters. He told them in previously to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he told them that I do not want you to be ignorant, you know, about those who sleep in death. And he was telling them about, you know, how Jesus will come, that we believe that because Jesus died, he rose again. And he says that we who are alive will continue to be so until the Lord comes, and then God himself, Lord himself, will come from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. But you see, because there were some false teachers, there are some people who are trying to tell them that the day of the Lord has come. That means that the day of rapture has come, so judgment is already here. They have missed it, they have missed their seasons, and because they have missed it, then there is nothing to do. I mean, if you've already, you know, there is that aspect that if you have already missed the rapture, you will feel like, well, then what is the point? I mean, I'm just waiting for hellfire. But you see, the God wants us to be ready. And because of such teachings, there are two schools of people. There are those who are now living carelessly, living that, you know, at the end of the day, we've missed it already. There's nothing we can do. The day of the Lord has come. But then there are also those on the extreme side who are also not doing anything. They're not working. They say, I mean, Jesus is coming tomorrow. Since he's coming tomorrow, then why should I bother working hard, or why should I bother, you know, do anything? So I should just live a careless life. And Paul was trying to address all these things. But so in this second letter, he goes into further detail to start to explain to us what are some of the things that will happen before that day of the Lord comes and before that final day of judgment. And one of the things that he speaks about is a great falling away or the great apostasy. Now we'll read from verse 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Bible says, now brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you, what is this gathering together with him? This gathering together to him is the rapture. Remember, we spoke about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where that the first, when the trumpet shall sound and God, Lord Jesus shall descend from heaven with the voice of an archangel, the dead in Christ will first arise. And then we who are alive will be caught up and meet with the Lord in the air. So that means that there's going to be a rapture. And that word caught up, it means like an eagle scooping. So there is going to be a snatching away of the church and the gathering together to him of the dead in Christ and also those who will be alive and waiting for the coming rapture. And you know, the rapture is going to happen anytime. I mean, the Bible warns us of various signs that are going to take place when the rapture is about to come, and we should not be caught sleeping. The Bible is very keen to warn us that let us not be caught sleeping, because we are not of the night. We are of the day, and because we are of the day, we can be able to tell the signs that are there in the season for us to know. Now, he's telling them, verse 2, let us read, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. So you see, there are people who are troubling their spirits. They're troubling this church in Thessalonica that the day of the Lord has come, that Jesus has already come, the gathering together has already taken place. We have been left behind. We are now left for the wrath. And he's trying to tell them that even if someone sends a letter or a word or a spirit appears to you and is telling you that the rapture has taken place, do not be troubled and do not be deceived by this. You need to stand firm because we have taught you these things. And verse 3 says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. That means there is going to be a great falling away. And this falling away means apostasy. Apostasy basically means people were believing one thing and believing in the faith, believing Christians were standing in the faith, and then they now start to go away from the faith. You can imagine that some of the great changes that happen in the church, things that churches in the past will never have supported, you know, positions that are abominable to the scriptures, they're the ones which are being supported and promoted by the church. It seems like there is a great delusion, there is a great deception that has taken place, that you even wonder, how is it that we are saying we are the same kind of people, yet clearly we can see that there is a great falling away, there is a great deception. So the Bible is saying it will not come unless the falling away comes. That means there is going to be a great deception that is going to sweep the land. And the Bible says after that, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. That man of sin is also the man of lawlessness. So there is going to be a great apostasy, there's going to be a great falling away, and then the man of sin or the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition. Who is the man of lawlessness? This is the Antichrist. This is the person that the scriptures reveal to us as the Antichrist. And remember, Antichrist is not only just a man, but it's also a spirit. There is a spirit of the Antichrist that is already at work in the earth, and that's what 1 John chapter 4 tells us, that the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the world. And when we are to test every spirit, you will see that every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is the spirit of the Antichrist. So a warning to us is that we must be able to judge the times and seasons. And now he's telling them that let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. What does he do? Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So you can see, the man of lawlessness, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, he is going to exalt himself and is going to oppose everything that is God. And you can see there's all these aspects of one world religion where they want only there should be a unity of religions, and anyone that is contrary to that becomes a target of persecution. And you can see, so anything that opposes and exalts himself, he will oppose and exalt himself to be above anything that is God, that is worship, and he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You know, there are people who are waiting for, they will think is the Messiah, but that will be the false Messiah, and he will come in that aspect where they will think that he is God, and he will pretend and he will claim to be God, and he will sit in the temple of God and demand to be worshipped. Now, verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? That means Paul would teach even, remember, he raised this church for just 3 weeks. Eh? And you see, he had even gone to the depth of telling them the eschatology, the end times, you see. And he's telling them that, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Verse 6, and now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. So that means there is something or there is someone that is restraining the revealing or the revelation, because that means it needs a certain revelation. It's a hidden mystery. He could be in plain sight, hiding in plain sight. He could be already at work, but this man shall be revealed in his own time. Verse 7 says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. This means the spirit of lawlessness, the mystery, the hidden nature of the work of lawlessness, or the son of perdition, the Antichrist, is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. So that means there's a restraining power. And the he here is talking about the church. It is until after the rapture of the church, when the church is taken away, that we know, we can see from the scriptures that now the man of lawlessness shall be revealed. Why? Because up until that point, if you read Daniel, the Bible will tell us that this man of perdition, this man of lawlessness, this king, he will come and gain power through flattery. He's going to be deceiving people. He's going to be giving people, you know, he will come in the name of peace. Oh, I'm a man of peace. He's going to unite the people. He's going to unite the, you know, the Abrahamic faith, you know, the various religions that are under Abraham. He's going to unite them. And after he unites them, he will look like a man of peace. He'll be a man who is wealthy. You know, he will be having all this wealth. And by him having all that influence, he's going to bring a peace accord. Now, when that peace is signed, then they are going to do what? They are going to rebuild the temple. And that's why you can see there is so much that is being spoken about rebuilding of the temple in its former place in Jerusalem, trying to identify which was the exact location, and, you know, finding the Ark of the Covenant. There is a big plan to bring a restoration of temple worship even back today. Now, because of that, now, initially, there'll be that sense of calmness, and everyone will be like, oh yes, this is the man, this is the man. But then, after that period, then when the church is taken away, then he's going to be revealed. Now, and sadly, he will come with also, what is it, with miracles and signs. And let us read verse 8. And the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth, and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. Remember, the Antichrist will have a time of great tribulation, a time to torture the saints, a time to rule over this earth, and he will rule it until the time when the seven-year period is ended, when the Lord shall come back and destroy him with the judgment. When the Lord comes to establish his millennial reign, then we know that the Antichrist will be destroyed. Verse 9 says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. So if you will want to imagine how the lawless one will be, he will come with signs according to the work of Satan. Remember, in the book of Revelation, it speaks about, you know, the beast gave his power to the false prophet. So there was signs, the dragon, you know, was being worshipped. They gave their power to the false prophet so that he can do signs and wonders. And even the believers could be deceived. The Bible tells us that even the elect could be deceived. So, according to the working of Satan, so whenever you see miracles, it does not mean that the person is right. So, miracles don't point to rightness, because even Satan himself works with signs and wonders. Remember Jannes and Jambres. Remember in when Moses went to Pharaoh, when Moses threw down his stick, the magicians of Pharaoh also threw down their sticks and they all turned into snakes. But the only difference was that the snake of Moses swallowed the other snakes of the magicians. And the rod of Moses was able to demonstrate that God is superior. But you see, the working of Satan will also come with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Look at the word it's saying. It's a vanity, because the devil lies. He is the father of lies. There is nothing that he says that is of the truth. So it might look like it is amazing, but it is a lie. And lying wonders. And then verse 10 says, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So there are there is going to be a great deception. And in fact, even the Bible says, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. You can think of some of the deceptions that happen today in various places. Someone is clearly being deceived, but they are still following. You can see the false prophets have the biggest, you know, biggest gatherings. Why? Because people love to be deceived. You know, people love to hear lies. People love to see all these fake miracles. If there was no market for it, then no one will do it. But because there is a ready market for you know, arranged miracles, there's a ready market for fake prophecies, there's a ready market for false things, then people are going to be ready for it. And the Bible says, and this is because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. God desires that all men be saved. But you'll only be saved when you receive the truth of God, because God's truth is available. God's truth, God wants you to receive his life. God wants you to walk in the fullness of his grace. God wants you to hear the gospel, to believe that he loves you, to believe that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and me. But you see, if you don't receive the truth, there is nothing that God will do. It is your choice. God has given you the free will to make a decision. Do you want to serve him or do you want to serve the world? You choose. If you choose life, you will receive life. If you choose death, you will receive judgment and condemnation. Now the Bible says that, verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Verse 11, and for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, and that they may be condemned with those, they may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, because you don't believe the truth, because you have rejected the truth, God says, I have rejected you. That is one of the things that God told the Israelites. Because you have rejected my word and my name, I have rejected you to be my priest. You think about the book of Romans. He says, because they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, God handed them over to a reprobate mind. He handed them over to a stupid mind. You know that? Why is that? Because they refuse the truth. And you see, when you refuse the truth, then God hands you over. And you can see the Bible is saying God will send them a strong delusion. Delusion is false perceptions. They will think they are right, but yet they are wrong. And you will wonder, but even natural things don't follow this pattern. But you see, men, because they have rejected the truth, they have chosen their own way. They want to show how, you know, how much freedom they have. God will lead them. God will send them a strong delusion, and they will believe the lie. So there's going to be a great falling away. Even let's compare it with some of the prophecies that Jesus gave. And if you look at Matthew, if you open the Bible to Matthew and you look at some of the things that Jesus spoke about the end times, Matthew 24, they really align with what Paul is preaching. If you read from verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. You can see the deception that is going to be there. Paul has spoken about the unrighteous deception, that no one deceives you. Verse 5, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. So we've had many Christs that have come all these years. They say, I am the one, I'm the messenger, I'm the one that is sent. But yet they're going to deceive many. And he says, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So all these things are going to come, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. We have seen that. There are so many wars all over us. And kingdom against kingdom. We've seen the kingdoms rising against kingdoms. And there will be famines. We are facing famines in various parts of the world. Pestilences, earthquakes in various places. We had earthquakes just the other day. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. All these are the beginnings of childbirth. You know, birth, you know, the pangs of childbirth. You know, and that's God is telling us that these things are going to increase in a greater measure. Expect it. Expect it. Expect there's going to be wars and rumors of war. Expect that there are going to be nations. Expect there are going to be famines, pestilences. What are pestilences? You know, the plagues, COVID. You know, all these diseases that come upon the people. You know. And verse 9 tells us persecution is going to be there. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. That means you can see the hatred that is there. It is so large. You know, the persecution that is there is so much. And God is saying that these are the signs that are going to point us towards the end of the ages. And they are coming. And verse 10 says, and many will be offended. What is offense? Offense is where people walk away from the faith. People who are believing and they just stop believing and they say, no, I'm done. And they turn away and they are offended. You remember when he tells John the Baptist that let no one be offended on my name's sake. Do not be disappointed. Do not fall away because of what is happening to you. But this is what will happen in the last days. And many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another. Verse 11, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound. Remember, the man of lawlessness, the spirit of lawlessness, the spirit of sin. You can see how people are living careless lives. They don't care. They do whatever they want. They say, my body, my choice, my life, my choice, whatever I do, my dressing, all that they want to do. This is the abounding of the lawlessness. And the sad thing the Bible says, and the love of many will grow cold. You see, when you're no longer in your place of assignment, when you're no longer in that place of commitment with God, in prayer, in your worship with God, what happens is your love grows cold. And the love of many will grow cold, verse 13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. God desires that we endure. There are things that we will not escape, but we will endure. There are situations that we will not run away from, but we will go through. Because he says, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. I shall fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's comfort, God's protection, God's guidance is going to be with the believers. It's going to be with the saints. That even though all these things will happen, he is ensuring us that he that endures to the end shall be saved. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, then the end will come. These are the words of Jesus, that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations. And that is why we hasten the coming of the Lord, by preaching the gospel of the kingdom to all nations. Every man must hear. It does not say that every man will believe, but they shall receive the witness. It shall be preached to them as a witness. Their choice to believe is up to them. If they believe it, if they receive it, they shall have life. But if they don't believe it or receive it, the end result is death. Now let's look at verse 15, where it says, therefore, and this is this man of lawlessness, the man that we have said that he will exalt himself above anything that is God. He will oppose God. And that's why he's saying, verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, that means he will stand in this, in the holy temple, and he will say, I am God, I am to be worshipped. You know, he will have been using money and flattery, he will gain ascendancy to power. But then when he's there in the privacy of his chambers, he will be praying to idols, praying to the god of money, praying to the god of war. And eventually when he gets the seat, then he will stay in that most holy place and demand to be worshipped. Now, this is the abomination that causes desolation. You know, spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he says, whoever reads, let him understand. Verse 16, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be a great tribulation, such as not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, nor should ever be. Verse 22, unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be saved. For the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So God is going to show mercy on the church. God is going to show mercy on even the elect. Because you see, after the rapture, there are people who would have still believed in Christ, who would still have waited on God, who would be left behind. But they were not ready at that point. Now, because they are not ready, they will have to pay for it with their blood. So false Christ will appear, you know, and they will come with great signs and wonders, but Christ will come. No one knows the day or the hour, but the signs are there. The signs are everywhere. If we look around, if we open our eyes, if we open our understanding, God will show us what is happening. I pray that God will give us mercy, God will give us understanding, and God will preserve us. I will stop here, and you're welcome, my brother.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel. It's interesting indeed. As you preach, I was just remembering some of these incidents where the false prophets have led people to believe that, you know, the rapture is coming, the world is coming to an end. Incidents where, like Chiwete in Uganda, where they burnt believers. So I think the Bible says that my people perish because of ignorance. This is very clear. It tells you that indeed, before the rapture, all these things will happen. And as Christians, if we adhere to the word of God, we should be conscious, and we should be also, our eyes should be open to seeing some of these things. Spiritually, as we mature, we should be able to discern what is true and what is wrong, what is not right according to the word. So I pray that God gives us the grace, God gives us the courage to remain steadfast as we wait on the day of the great return. And also, the Lord God Father opens our eyes to some of these false prophets.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be able to see clearly, know that what is a lie is a lie, and what is the truth is the truth. Yeah, I'll stop here, and thank you for the word.
Yeah, like our eyes be open, that we don't be deceived, you know, because deception is so much. And sadly, people are believing the great lie, and there's a great falling away. May God help us to stand firm. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for clarity. I thank you for teaching us the truth of the gospel, that, Lord, we are in the last days. And indeed, any time we need to be ready, our hearts need to be ready. Cleanse us, purify us, O God, walk with us, O God. Indeed, we come against the deceptions of the enemy, the plans of the enemy to deceive, you know, children of God, and that, Lord, to may blind your people, O God. But Lord, indeed, may we not be caught unawares. May we not be caught by the enemy. May we know that you are God, that you are faithful. Direct our steps, O God. Watch over our families, preserve them, keep and sustain them. Guide our steps as we look unto you. Be our shield and our portion. We look unto your promises. They are yes and amen. Every need that your children have, O God, may you answer it. And even as we reflect and meditate, may our hearts be ready for you, for your coming. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. Blessed day.